Welcome to the Tabletop Nights podcast. My name is Victor. I'm joined by Claire and Greg.
I'm Greg.
My loyal companions. if you couldn't tell. Yeah, if you couldn't tell, the one on the bottom, Greg. Good man. All right. Today,
I'm on the bottom.
Yeah, you are on the bottom. Yeah, I can move you around in post if you want. It's up to you. Sure. On today's show, we'll be talking about the top like six party games, two each. We brought two each. I'm pretty sure they're all different. I don't think Greg brought 10 like he did last time.
I brought 5 and I spent 2 minutes. Josh brought 2 and spent 20 minutes. So don't just.
But is it a quality over quantity type situation?
No, it wasn't. It was Josh. Love you, Josh.
We love him. He's a big regular on the podcast and on Twitch. So we are live streaming now on Twitch for our subs. Massive shout out to them. This podcast is also available video on YouTube, audio on pretty much anything like I think it's on Spotify, Apple Music.
On all your podcast apps.
On all your podcasts.
Your podcasts, that's where we are.
Absolutely.
Where you get all your good or average quality podcasts. That's where you'll find us.
So I thought we would... we're also going to talk a little later. We're going to talk about some of the games we've backed lately on Kickstarter. Despite the lull in board games coming to us because of what's going on at the moment, we're still making sure the money's going out so that our future is board game heavy.
And look, the Australia Post guy turns up at my door now and he goes, "Oh, hi, Greg, how's the family? How you doing?" Like, he's here all the time. It's really bad.
That's good. That's good. All right, cool. Well, let's do it. Let's hear one of Claire's first. Let's hear one of her first.
I'm starting up.
Yeah, one of her favorite party games to play with friends, actually.
Can we have a big graphic come up, go, party games.
Party games, yeah.
So this, you'll tell by the condition of the box, which it might make Greg cry because of the condition of the box. So.
And our well-loved games are fine.
This is one of our family favorites. Articulate, the fast-talking description game. Came out in 1992, so it's been well loved with us for a long time. It's essentially you have a board that you walk around. It's in teams. You can pretty much have as many people as you want play it. I think we've had up to 12 people playing it because you can have 4 teams and just have as many people as you want. Your idea is to get from start of the board and get all the way around to the finish by answering questions. So whichever of these your tokens on, that's what you have to talk with, what you have to describe. So if you're in person, nature, action, object, and you pretty much try and get through as many of these little cards as you want so they line up. So say you have the world says home, so you just have to describe your house without, or you have to describe the word home without saying starts with H or rhymes with loam, or
that was the best word you could come up with.
So what can you say? A place we live.
Yeah, a place you live. Okay. Another name for a house, or blank is where the heart is. So you could do those kind of descriptions.
Yeah, cool.
And as many cards that you get through before the timer runs out, which is a 30-second timer, that's how many spaces you move forward. So if you know the person that you're playing with really well, you'll find that you advance really quickly. Whereas if you're playing with people that you're not very familiar with, you advance slowly because you can't say, one of the guys from the Tabletop Knights, that's the first name. And then, describing the second name, if you don't have that background, it makes
Wanker.
It a little bit difficult. But this game has caused so many fights in my family.
We do love you, little baby prawn. Sorry, I just didn't want to interrupt. That's all. Keep going.
My dad and I are not allowed to play on the same team.
Oh, a lot of bickering is there.
Because we like to play for sheep stations and everyone's scared to play against us.
And that's fair enough too.
Yeah. So, and yeah, there's a few people that we can't play with, but it's definitely a family favorite.
What are the components? Just the board and a...
So the board, the cards, and the timer, and then the little pieces that you move around. It's not a very expensive...
You'd probably be able to find it at an op shop, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You'd be able to find it. Although, we've had this one for years. Now every member of my family owns their own copy. but they brought out a Articulate Your Life. So they changed the categories and they have social networking and that kind of thing. But it's not as good as the original.
The original is always the heart to beat. unfortunately.
Yep. But you can buy additional cards now. You can get like a new pack of cards that are slightly updated because obviously from 1992, they're getting a little bit old and dated.
Who is the current president? Well, you got to think about that when you make those trivia games, is you got to make sure that it's, you know, able to be played for at least, you know, 5-6 years, maybe not 20.
And it's largely American-based too, so that always makes it a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
I find person and world sometimes are really, really hard. But the other categories, you can smash out like 8 easily in the 30 seconds. So, but yeah, 30 seconds is not a lot of time once you start describing stuff and you get stuck and you're
you get flustered. You get flustered. I was playing a game like that the other day that was very much like that. It's the wrong game or something where you just got to, they ask you a question, you've just got to answer something that's similar to the answer, but wrong. So, you know, what day is 4th of July? 8th of July. You know what I mean? Or like, what when do Americans celebrate Independence Day? Just wrong answers. I found I was really good at that game. It helps if you don't know. Yeah.
Know the actual answers. Yeah.
But it's one of those games.
Failing school is a plus.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's one of those games where you get flustered really easy. Oh, cool. Well, that's a good game. I like that. It seems everyone will play that sort of game. They're real party games, ones where more people are likely to play, whereas mine are sort of not really. Yeah. But yeah. All right, Greg.
It's very easy to learn, which is the bonus as well.
Well, I felt like I learned it just listening to you. So.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Greg. I'd be interested to know yours because you've probably got a plethora of party games.
I've got
games.
7 of them, but I'm not allowed to do that. Actually, my current favorite's Weird Words, which I don't know if you guys have played, but I'm not going to talk much about that one. But if you can find that, it's pretty easy to find at your local Games World or whatever. That's a cracker. And it's only like a 5-minute game. But for family parties, Boulder Dash or Absolute Boulder Dash, you would have seen that before. Mm-hmm. That just, it's hilarious because basically there's like a, there'll be a short phrase that you then have to write a, like a definition for. So, or it might have a single word. And then you write a sentence to try and convince other people that yours is the real definition. So it might be like...
So it's a bit of lying and deceit going on.
Oh, it's definitely lying. So what? And then what happens is one person is gets to see all of the answers plus the real definition and then they read them out and then you've got, you kind of vote for, again, whose is the... It's kind of like a words version of Dixit.
Okay. I like that.
But it's hilarious because someone will go, they'll read a definition and it'll say Israeli army troops. Now, Israelian isn't a word, so you start pissing yourself laughing because you're going, well, that can't be the right one, but you just laugh anyway. I remember I voted once for frozen food section in a Greek delicatessen. I voted for that definition of whatever the word was.
Right? Okay, so it doesn't always have to make sense, but...
No, but I thought, oh, that's just too off the charts. It must be real. Yeah. But of course, I felt like a complete idiot at the end of that one. But it's hilarious. And it's just very simple, just moving around the board to get to the end. But that's a cracker. If you can find, I think Absolute Boulder Dash is the one that's sort of currently around these days. So slightly different board movement, but the game's essentially the same.
A lot of the Jackbox party games are like that, where it's like so ridiculous.
Like
it's so ridiculous. It might be the answer, but it's actually like it'll ask a true question, but the answer's so ridiculous that you think somebody else wrote it, so you don't vote for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we've just ended up in tears because you'll just read something out that someone obviously can't spell, or they make up words, and you just.
Hold on 1 sec. Come in. What's up?
Nope. Oh, hang on. The show stops because Victor's stopped now. Claire, we can keep talking.
Sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
No, we're done with that. Yeah.
I thought it might be an emergency. That's all.
That's okay, but it doesn't mean we have to stop.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're the boss, bloody CEO of Tabletop Nights.
Everyone stop now. Stop.
All right. So that's me. That's my first one, Victor. You go for it.
All right. My one is one that Greg doesn't like.
Catan?
No.
That's not a party game.
Can you guess which one it is, Greg?
What do you mean what I don't like?
Well, it's not that you didn't like it. You didn't like it at the time. It's a coup. I love just the base generic version of coup.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you you don't know how to pronounce it properly, coup. you can't play it with any less than 4 people. It's okay, which is what we played it. 6 is like really where it gets
the sweet spot.
Yeah. Have you ever played coup before, Claire?
Yeah, I think so. I think my friend has it, but I might be getting confused with the Resistance.
I think they're very similar.
It's kind of like Mafia, right?
So basically,
it's much simpler.
Yeah, you get two cards. And they're different roles. So you have a captain. The captain can block a steal from another player. He can actually steal coins from another player. Once you hit a certain amount of coins, you coup another player and one of their cards are now discarded. But it's all about lying. So, for example, when we played, everyone said they had a duke. I have a duke. I'm going to take three coins from the middle. Obviously, you want those three coins so that you can coup someone faster.
Yeah.
I actually had a duke. So when I said I had a duke, I wasn't telling the truth. But I was telling the truth. But if somebody was to challenge me and say, you don't have a duke, then I can show them the duke and they lose a card and okay. I shuffle mine in and pick another. So you can actually lie about having a duke for the whole game if you want.
Like I watched you guys play that on...
I was in tears by the end of it because like Victor goes, oh, I'm a duke. Okay, Glenn goes, oh, I'm a duke. And he comes down to me, well, Greg, you're not a duke. depending on your card combos, it's almost like you could be out of the game on turn one. Like you just can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what frustrated me about it.
Welcome, Nick Pickle. Thanks for tuning in, man. We're doing I did this podcast live for you, so that's all it is.
He literally did. He did say that before we started.
Yeah.
He's just stopping to say hi, which means he's going again. He's just waving on his way out the door.
That's true. It's really good because you can lie the whole time and win, or you can tell the truth the whole time and win. It's a pretty hard game to be victorious in, especially when you've won the previous round. Everyone will just pick on you, unfortunately. But you can really
like one of those games.
Is there much level of skill involved, or is it kind of basically luck?
I would say skill only in the social sense, not in like a board game sense. Like, there's not heaps of strategies, but making the right lies at the right time, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played it heaps, but I've watched a lot of people play it on YouTube. And they do get into some minor strategies, but it's more just like, I have a duke. And then they're like, do I risk sacrificing myself? And I like that sort of social gameplay.
We really struggle with those in our friendship group because we've all been friends for so long that as soon as someone goes, I'm a duke, they're like, you're lying. I'm not, you're lying. We know you're lying. You're out. We know, like, there's just no, it's so hard to lie in front of people that you've known so like closely for so long. So some of those games can be a little bit frustrating for certain people.
Yeah. No, Greg, I think, really doesn't like the social aspect of the lying part.
Of coup, because it's too like if you, for example, if you get stuck, say, with the assassin and one other thing, that combo will mean you have to play it this way, like there is no choice.
Well, you can lie and pretend you have a different card.
I know, but it's like one of those ones that I think it's like this. There's one of them where basically if someone challenges you, you're dead either way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a couple of those ones. Whereas the things like the Resistance, at least you're sort of swapping teams and there's a bit more... You got more of a chance of hanging in a bit longer, I think.
I do like the team swap aspect because it's like, oh, I'm stuck. I can swap a team and at least have a chance to survive another turn. But I like coup because it's 100% like social lying game. And when you're a little tipsy and stuff, it's awesome. Yeah. All right, Claire.
Just add alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Claire, your next one.
Okay, my next one is also a kind of descriptive one, but it's Decrypto.
Oh, it's a great game.
It's so fun because it has the same like kind of descriptive element, but there's a little bit of like rush to get it on time, like at a certain time, but there's not as much, so you're not like freaking out.
What makes you classify that one as a party game?
Mainly because you can play it with as many people as you want. And I'm kind of going like with my group of friends that we often play with, there's usually about 6 to 8 of us. So really need a game that you can play with that many people. And the good thing about this one is you split into two teams. And I think it says there's sort of a maximum of 8, which I'd probably agree with, but I think we have played with more because when you're on two teams, you can just have as many people on that team.
Yeah.
As you want, it just means that you get less time to like write down your own answer and that kind of stuff. And I love that it's got like you put in your little cards, which
it's like Nemesis.
You know, they're you can't read what they are, and you put them in and your little, and it deciphers them for you, and then you have to describe them. So the thing is, like, you have to describe your own so that your teammates will get it. So they have to be not so cryptic that your teammates can't get it, but they have to be cryptic enough that the other team can't eventually crack your code. Yeah. So it's one of those games where, like, guessing your own one right doesn't get you anywhere, but it just stops you from failing.
Yeah, look, it's a cracker because I've played that a lot as a four-player game. So I'll play with my son and his girlfriend and Donna, and we go, but then you get that generational divide where you're going, oh, what can I write that Zoe will know that Liam won't, or that Donna will? And it's like, it's a bit like Dixit again, because you got to try and work in the brain of the person who's your partner.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my, I'd say that's a very good light deduction game.
Yeah.
But geez, it's well done.
It is really well done. It came out in 2018, and I think my friends bought it, and then they bought it for me for my birthday, and I also bought it for my brother and sister-in-law because they like to play games but don't like super complicated ones, and they were able to pick it up really quickly as well. And yeah, it's just a really fun, like, lighthearted way. And it's funny when you're like trying to tell someone, you're like, I even read one description online where someone's like, I don't know how you have to explain that Texas is related to oil. Like, there's, you know, your brain goes one way and you're like, this is so obvious. And then everyone's like, oh, I'm not really sure like what it is. So it's kind of fun, the arguments that come out later, but you can't tell your teammates how frustrated you are without giving the other team an idea of what your card is. So you're like, how are you not getting this?
It is a really good game. I love it. Hey, just while, I don't know if you're still there, Nick, but you say it's games night tonight. I'm just wondering what you might be playing if you pop that up.
We should have asked. Because it's always good to know what Nick Picker's playing, because he started playing board games when I did, roughly. So
is that right?
To see who's winning. No.
Excellent.
Let's compare collections, Nick. I'm joking.
So yeah, get out and get to crypto. Again, that's one of those ones that's easily available.
Yeah, I think it's only like $20-25. Like, it's super reasonable.
Well, and there's heaps of cards in them.
That's one of the good things about party games.
They're double, so you can go
double sided and double ended.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, party games generally are cheap. Which is one of the draws of them, especially if you want to get your non-board gaming friends into a game and sort of slowly get them more accustomed to more complicated rules.
Yeah.
One of the perks. I actually played Throw Throw Burrito the other day with a few people, and it's chaos. That game is completely chaos. Like, you're waiting for cards to be given to you because the person next to you is so slow, and like the person ahead of you has your pie, which is like massive because you just keep handing cards to them. But afterwards, they were all like, you know, I'd be happy to play something a bit more complex. And I was like, I was like,
to crypto.
Catan. Because what did we end up playing? We ended up playing, I forget what it's called. It's a game where you have a square board and you use Tetris squares to sort of block each other out and stuff.
Blockus.
Yes. Yeah, we play Blockus. And that's a fairly strategy heavy game. If you know, I won my first game.
But at least with Blockus, you can use antibacterial wipes on each piece.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know how you did it with the cards with Throw Throw Burrito, though. So,
yeah,
you know,
well, like...
with your social distancing.
I think it would be a wash your hands beforehand.
Yeah.
Don't touch your face, wash your hands afterwards. Don't touch the game for 2 weeks.
I will admit, it was after they said that we could officially have 5 people over at a house. So I think we played with 5 people, but 3 of them lived there. So technically, we could have had another.
That's okay, but still, it's still 1.5 meters though. So you know, you got to flick the cards.
Well, you got to be good at throwing.
We're probably about a meter away.
I'm only joking.
It's a good game though. The standoffs are a bit weird though. Like, where you've got to like walk and
like a jewel.
Shoot, yeah. And like you always forget when you should be grabbing the burrito. So we just did, if you grabbed a burrito, you got a wound, which I think is an official rule anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Greg, you got a second one?
My second one is another one that's easily found, which is the old Telestrations.
Yes.
Which is, this is the 12-player party pack. So you can absolutely see it's got party on the box. So it's definitely a party game. And you've got, again, a heap of cards. Each card has words on them. You roll a die and everyone has to look at their own card and basically write their own word down. Everyone gets their own little picture book, little whiteboard book, and a cloth and a pen. And so what you do is you write your name on the front. So I write Greg. You write the word that you is your secret word on here. Then basically, depending on how many players there are, you then pass your word to the player to the left, or you can actually draw your word. So that depends on the number of players. But you pass to the next person. They have to draw it. Then the next person sees it, and then they have to write what they think it is. So they write the word. So they're guessing it. Then they pass that to the next person, and then they will draw it. So it's all this draw, guess, draw, guess, draw, guess. So if you use the old Chinese whispers...
I was about to say that, but I wasn't sure if that's inappropriate now. Well, what kids call it.
I looked up Chinese whispers to actually see whether that's inappropriate or not, and again, it's divided. So what it means is, though, miscommunication is what this is all about. So what ended up, what started off being a maybe pencil eraser comes back as a vibrator or something like that.
I like that a lot.
You know, things like that. And then what you do
is, I have the After Dark version.
Oh, right.
It's fantastic. More adult, yeah. We've never scored it. Like, I could just find the scoring is a little bit, like, convoluted, but we just play it when you're right after we've had some drinks. We get out the Telestrations After Dark, and some of the drawings that come up are extremely detailed.
Ah, yeah. So basically, you once you get your own book back, you then do a little show and tell, and you go, "Well, my word was this," and people are going, "I never saw that word."
Yeah.
And then you go, and then John drew that, and everyone's pissing themselves laughing by the third drawing.
Yeah.
And basically, if your picture. If someone was able to guess the previous word from your picture, you get a point, and then they get a point as well. So every time it sort of gets right, you get points for it. So you're not deliberately trying to get it wrong because it's not in your interest, which is why they have the scoring. But essentially then everyone does their show and tell. It's hilarious. You have a great laugh and anyone can play it. People say, "Oh, I can't draw." And you go, "It doesn't matter."
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that Drawful on, again, like on Jackbox games. But everyone has a great time. You can have 10 people around the table and everyone's playing at the same time and having a blast. So that's a cracker.
I do like that game. It's very fun,
but we find the same thing that Victor said, where one person's got three books piled up next to them because they're drawing so detailed and then they grab them out of order. And then it's a super fun game. You're right. Sometimes you're just like crying, laughing with, good.
That's why it comes with a timer. So
only in the party pack. No.
Yeah, so sometimes you are crying, laughing with what people have drawn, and you're like, "How is that what you've drawn?" The next person's just completely goes off the rails.
That's it. And the party pack comes with another 600 words as well. So that's a crack.
Deadly.
So that's value too. It's probably like $35 or something. And it's everyone likes playing Pictionary or Charade. So it's just kind of a fun way to do that.
And with typical sort of old school party games, they've got the After Dark version.
Of course.
Yeah. Which is good, but. Not family friendly.
Not okay. Family friendly. Not to play with the children.
Cool. So my second one is One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Again, you notice the theme. Very social, discussing. I have a clue, you know, that sort of thing, and waiting to use your clue. So basically, again, it's good with six people. Everyone gets a role. You're told everyone closes their eyes. You have someone, basically an MC of the game. Can all the wolves open their eyes? So you open your eyes, you know who your fellow wolves are, which there might not be any. You could be the only one. And the aim of the game is if the wolves survive, I think if it's at least one, the main wolf survives, you win. But then you've got other things as well. So there's the, I forget what it is, a cobbler maybe or something like that. He wants to die. He doesn't want to be alive anymore. So he's trying to trick people pretending he's a wolf, but not in an obvious way. But then you've got the apprentice who wants him to die as well, so he can become the main guy. So like there's different paths you can take, and I like the whole deduction thing and pretending like I'm not the wolf. I know who the wolf is, but I'm not going to tell you till the end, and then the time runs out and you haven't given any information. But then there's also roles that switch the cards up as well. So like the lady that never sleeps during the night, she can swap a card around, or the thief, and you swap the cards around. So when you open your eyes, you actually don't know who you have because you can never look at your card again. So basically, you could be the wolf at the start, and then you could not be the wolf at the end. So every game's completely different, and then you've got your cards in the middle as well for the unused roles. And so, yeah, it can be quite difficult. There's quite a few different versions of it as well. You've got, like, Batman versions as well, which is awesome. But that's one of my favorite games. I like the time limit. Like, we've got 5 minutes to figure this out, you know? Yeah.
That's why I like Weird Words, because it's... People who don't like werewolf, where you have to lie and bluff and, you know, you feel like you're getting picked on, Weird Words is really fast. It's like basically 20 questions and each round only goes for 4 minutes is like the maximum on the time. And it's all about finding that word.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not really accusing each other. It's just trying to deduct who the werewolf is. So if you don't like those normal deduction games, Weird Words is a bit easier going.
See, I like lying, so.
Well, we know that. Yeah. That's
only... Is that the truth or is that a lie?
Dude, only in these social games, I that's why I really enjoy a game like Nemesis, because it's like I look at Greg and I'm like, I can trust him this time. I know it. I know it deep down. Like, he's telling the truth. But then with Greg, he's got actually a pretty good poker face, despite me being able to call him out sometimes, where you never really know what he's doing. And then he ended up killing us all in Nemesis anyway.
Well, we still don't know who won, because there's always a new comment coming up. But because you had your legs crossed, you didn't die. So I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, you had the force field. That's our six. But what I want to start doing on the podcast as well, when we start doing these loose lists, I want to ask you guys at home, what's your favorite part of the game to play? Give us one, give us two, give us as many as you like. And we'll talk about your comment next week. Next fortnight when we do another podcast.
And maybe we'll play it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've done a good job convincing us. One that we played recently, what was it called again, Greg?
Dracula's Feast.
Yeah, Dracula's Feast. That was
the new Blood version.
Yes, that was really fun. Really fun. I would love to give that a whirl in real life. Not that that wasn't real life, but...
Come over. I'll see.
When you can look at each other and go, ooh, I don't know.
Spit on each other again.
Do you want to dance?
Classic.
Or do you not want to dance?
Yeah, I did like that. But that can be over pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, it was like three dances and then Claire goes, oh, okay, that's who it is. Bang. Oh, okay, right, done.
Yeah, if everything sort of works out in a good order... Then it's like there is, I'd say, a little bit of luck involved, but it is mainly just like, oh, I've got it. You know, there wasn't whenever I won. I know I won the second time, just pure luck. But the first time around, there was no planning. Like, I'm gonna do this. It was just like, oh, I'm one turn away. I realize right now I'm one turn away from winning. So.
I had full like logic things. So I was like ticking you and then crossing across, and then that's how I was deciphering it so quickly.
Mine was the complete opposite.
I was doing that as well, but I think the good thing about it is you never felt like you're lost by, like, I had no idea who anyone was.
No, it was all like whoever's turn was right then was going to be the one that got to win.
Yeah, which was quite good, which meant you felt like you're in it all the time.
Well, and that's absolutely true. And that's how I won the first one. It was like, I know if I wait for my next turn, I'm not going to win, so I'll just guess the last pair, and I got lucky and guessed the last one. Yeah. So that's a really good one. What's the base version? Is it just less characters, or?
I actually got that with it. Okay. I'll grab it. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know we played Dixit. I think you've just overplayed Dixit that day, because you said if you were going to go back and play one, it would be the Dracula's Feast.
Yeah, we've played Dixit a lot. I actually bought their like anniversary edition. I think it was like their 10-year anniversary edition extra cards, just because like we play that game in our group a lot, and I've seen all the cards a lot, and honestly, I'm not good at that game.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But no matter who I'm playing with, it's just, it never goes well.
Surprisingly, I thought I'd be much better, and I was just like, I don't get, you know, I guess I've never heard Elton John's songs before.
Oh my God, not Candle in the Wind again.
Yeah, I was like,
surely.
I told Donna about that, and she went, you're serious?
I don't know how that goes. Like,
get out of the house. I'll book. Bullshit.
Give me some Queen songs and I'm like all about it, but I guess I haven't even seen the Elton John movie and I really want to. So
yeah, and then some of them, one of them I think I did and nobody got it because they thought it was too, it was Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I think my clue was like, would you know my name?
Yeah.
And I almost sung it and I was like, no, because too many people get it. And then no one got it. And I was like,
well, you should have sung it.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
So
I got to stop doing music references.
That's the one we played, which was Dracula Speaks New Blood. This is the original one, which I got as well, which I think just has, again, it's got 13 different roles, but I don't know what they are because I haven't opened it.
No also dancing. Came with,
there's another expansion for the one we played called Cthulhu and Friends. So
oh, sweet.
Try that one next time.
Absolutely. That's cool. Speaking of games, I want to try again. Hellboy sitting there in the background, always teasing me.
Yeah, it really pops out on that shelf, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What's that?
Hellboy, the game we played wrong.
That red just like jumps out at you. It's even if you notice nothing else, it's like you've superimposed Hellboy over
I
that
know.
Game.
It's quite satanic looking there, I think.
It's a cool game. I definitely want to play it again. But it was one of those games where Greg and I set aside a whole day to play board games. We're going to do like 5 videos today. We did one because we played Hellboy wrong. Then we're like, we'll do it again. And then I don't know what happened.
And we still got it wrong. But that's okay.
What do you guys think of Seven Wonders? Because it ranks so highly on so many lists, but it just does nothing for me.
Boring.
Yeah, I've never played it, but when I've tried to, I think I've got it. I've tried to play it on Tabletop Simulator, and I was just like, I was reading the rules, and I was like, this doesn't seem that appealing to me.
Oh, I just don't get the hype. Like, some people absolutely love it. I'm like, I just cannot get on board.
So, as an engine builder, it's very smart, but and I normally love like Egypt and the Seven Wonders type stuff, but that one it's almost too neat. It's almost like the perfect little do this, but I don't get any satisfaction out of playing it, unfortunately.
Well, it's almost like all those sort of core games seem to fall a little flat when they're not the first games you play, if that makes sense. Like if you've played a version that's a bit more in depth, then you go back to that game to play it for the first time. It's a bit, okay.
I'm just showing you that's the difference between the original version.
Oh, I like that art. I like that
little
art a
cards.
Lot. It's very old comic book style.
Yeah. And obviously that's the new version. And we haven't played with these. So these are
promo
ones.
Those are the
seen
new ones.
Yet.
Okay. Right.
Yes, so that's Bride of Dracula and Captain Bluebeard. So they're ones we haven't played with yet.
Show us the original ones. Show us one of the original ones again. So, still much better drawings than I could ever do.
Yeah, but it was a different style. And you go, so this obviously doesn't have the instructions, I don't think, on the individual cards.
That's cool. I like games that evolve.
It's still good.
I like that. Right. I like games that evolve. All right. So, let's quickly talk about some games we've backed recently. I know, Greg, you said you were going to stop backing some, but you haven't.
So I stopped right after. Well, hang on. Let's see. Recently, I have backed the Ratcatcher. So that's a solo board game by a Melbourne designer, and I've asked if we can help support that one in any way because I think that one looks a cracker.
Absolutely.
Canvas. I think someone else might have backed Canvas as well.
I did, yeah. But I was like, I wasn't so much for the channel, actually. I was like, I love this art.
It just looks beautiful. I like the way it's got the clear cards and you make a little story in your own little packet. Wolfenstein, I think Claire, were you?
Yeah, I backed that
as well. I had to back one called Regicide, which is a little New Zealand card game. It's almost like a standard deck of cards, but the way you play it, you've got to compete the Jack, Queen and King of sort of some of the suits. Vale Wraith, which is another solo game, one which you can get on Tabletop Simulator at the moment. Tabletopia, I think I played that one on. Man, that interface does my head in. I've got to get better at that.
Greg, going for the solo games.
Well, I thought, yeah, well, now's the time. The Defensive Procyon 3, Cloud Spire. Now, I missed Cloud Spire when it originally came out. So have you seen that one, Victor?
No, I haven't actually.
It's got beautiful sort of neoprene board mats, or hexes, and all the pieces of poker chips.
Okay.
So I went all in on that. That's like $475.
I think Donna might have heard you.
She's not watching. Oh, she doesn't know how to use Twitch. That's fine. Okay. Planet Unknown.
Yep.
For Science. Frosthaven, Lawyer Up. Night Tales. And we won't talk about Here to Slay, but that's kind of the recent. Hell, The Last Saga, which is a new Mythic Games one.
And which is good.
Ankh as well. Plus. A War of Whispers. Which is a really good one. And that's probably enough for now. I've just reeled off about 12 or 13 different games there.
Yeah, you mentioned the ones I backed up. I got Final Girl as well.
I've got the original of that, which is Hostage Negotiator.
Yeah. But I guess this one's more like, horror theme. But it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah, no, it looks really good.
And I wanted to get that because... Because of the theme, I think the theme will do really well on our YouTube channel. Whereas, some of the other games like Canvas, I was like, I'm getting this for me for once.
Yeah. What about, I looked at Dodo's Riding Dinosaurs. Did that pop up for you guys? And I was
I did not see that one.
Oh, I think it just finished last week, but it looked really cute. But I was like, I just backed Frosthaven and I just backed Wolfenstein. I can't really go forward and book. And Planet Unknown, I was like, I can't really go back anymore right at this second.
Yeah, you got to weigh it up.
Some people need to weigh it up. Other people just spend every cent they have.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is because I collect so many different things. It's like I probably shouldn't have started a board game YouTube channel. I just collect so many different collectibles.
What else do you collect?
Comic books. They're just all away at the moment. They're all like hidden. Like some video game stuff, not as much anymore, but mainly comic books and video games.
And we just got Fenton Crackshell talking about the chip theory games, which is Cloud Spire is one of them. Honestly, I actually saw Cloud Spire when I was in Germany at Essen, and I thought, how can I buy it right now? But it was like 10 kilos worth of box that I couldn't bring back.
It
was just bizarre.
I can imagine that.
Well, each time you buy, you can buy like sort of separate almost war bands, and they're all those clay filled heavy poker chips. And of course, Joshy there is saying, he said, Seven Wonders Jewel is better. And I like Fenton Crackshell. Cloud Spire is the only game that has a neoprene mat to put your neoprene mats on. That's true. Because even your player boards are little neoprene mats, and all the little hex, they're sort of like, Spirit Island, where the island shapes are a bit odd. Have you seen that? But they all sort of fit together to make your big board. And Josh has stopped at Bunnings. Josh, why are you at Bunnings? Get back home in isolation.
Can't have snags. I was at, where was I? I had to run into Southland yesterday to get something from Big W that we did an online order for. And it was packed. And I was like, oh my God. People just can't stay at home. Like everyone has such a dependence on going out. Whereas me, my whole life, I'm like, I can stay home all day today. This is a win.
I'm happy to stay home.
Yeah, sure. Me too. But quickly, discussing with Greg before, maybe next weekend, this time next week, we'll be doing us three. I would like to do it with us three, where we just sort of tune into, we go on Kickstarter, we live stream it, we just look at all the Kickstarters, watch the trailers live reactions. Whoa, cool, back right now. That sort of stuff.
I like the sound of that.
Yes.
That'd be a good one.
So we'll do a live stream of that maybe next week if we can organise that. That'd be cool. But that's the sort of content we like to make.
Beautiful. Now, Victor, just for our viewer here, how far through Gloomhaven have you got? You'd be the furthest of any of us.
So when I first got Gloomhaven, it was before I met any of these people through Tabletop Night. So I was playing by myself on a harder difficulty. I didn't ever finish it, unfortunately, because then I started Tabletop Nights and I needed the space to play normal board games. So, but I probably played around 30 to 40 scenarios. I forget with the side scenarios how many I did. But now we're actually playing it again. So every Wednesday, probably a bit late for you because we do it 8 o'clock Australian time. We play through Gloomhaven. I think we've done 4 scenarios so far.
We're starting to do it a little bit earlier. It's now more 7:30.
True.
Yeah, that's because it's taking you 4 hours every game.
Last time, not so bad. I think the 4 hours was... It's Josh's fault.
Well, that was the first scenario that we played, and we were still like, I think Glenn had played one level before. I don't think Josh had played. I think he just played that first scenario with Glenn once, and I'd not played at all. So we were still trying to figure out like what's the best course of action. How do we operate our characters? How does the game work?
Every week you learn your cards and you know immediately these two work well. Well, at least with 3 of the 4 of us that happens.
Of course you can catch up on all those videos on somewhere on YouTube and somewhere on Twitchy right here.
I'm going to release stream number 3 in a few days. So I love Gloomhaven, but it is such a task to play. You've got to make sure that you've got a dedicated game night for that. And I actually don't think that if we would be able to do it without Tabletop Simulator, even if we weren't in a pandemic, we wouldn't be doing it if we weren't playing on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, the scripted version is so good because you just press a button and it loads up the scenario for you. And at the end, it cleans up the board and allocates you all your gold and XP and all that kind of stuff. Apart from the XP for the scenario, the gold for the scenario, but everything else it allocates automatically, which is awesome. But this Wednesday, we might have to change the day of our stream.
I'm happy to do any day, you know that.
It's my birthday on Wednesday, so I have other things happening.
Gloomhaven birthday party. Jaws of the Lion looks interesting. Let's buy Jaws of the Lion for Claire's birthday.
well, that's like the...
the easier version
isn't it? Yeah.
The more ready-to-play version. So that's cool. But yeah, we'll play Gloomhaven this week. We'll organise it around Claire's birthday.
I won't. I'll probably be asleep by the time you guys
finish.
Get through by round 2.
7?
Yeah. Claire will come to the stream drunk after her birthday. Woo! Tinkerer!
Well, she's allowed to drink now because she's just turned 21. Is that right?
Legal drinking age is 18 here, you know.
I know. But you're definitely not 18.
No, I'm definitely not. Although I still do get ID'd somehow.
Oh, that's nice.
It's obvious.
I've always looked like 50, I think. I just look tired.
Oh, goodness me.
All right. Well, that's a podcast. Have you backed anything lately, Claire? Did you say? You said you backed Wolfenstein and...
Planet Unknown, Wolfenstein and Frosthaven.
Wolfenstein? It's based off the video game.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. So it has like all the levels and stuff. It's just like a dungeon crawler based on the game. And I mainly got it because I'm hoping that my dad will play with me because he used to love playing Wolfenstein.
Yeah, I think you told us this last podcast. That's awesome. Yeah, there are a lot of Kickstarter games that have like a Dragon Ball Z theme that surprisingly don't do as well as you would think.
I think there's a Power Rangers one that just...
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, it's not doing as well as I thought it would.
Yeah, it's funded, I think, but...
Yeah, but like you hear Dragon Ball Z and you're like, oh, that's going to get 10,000 backers. And then it gets like 3,000 and you're like, oh, okay.
Right, well, between now and our next potty, we're not allowed to look at Kickstarter, okay? Because we want to have that surprise reaction.
Well, yeah, well, that's true. We can. I'm happy to do that. But yeah, so we do our podcast every fortnight. So if on the off week we want to do this Kickstarter thing, we can.
Yeah, 100% do that. I think we could do that.
Yeah, sweet, cool.
And we can pick some things that don't necessarily have to be board games if we think they're wacko and crazy.
Very true. Thank you heaps for the follow as well, Fenton. We do the podcast for our YouTube channel and obviously Spotify and all that, but we like to live stream it for our followers and subs and stuff on here. Because we love talking board games, especially with people that can ask us questions and say things like Jaws of the Lion looks incredible. Because every time we talk about Jaws of the Lion, I'm like, what's that game called again? And I have to look it up for 15 minutes because you just don't hear anything about it. So we like hearing those sort of things from the fans. But yeah, cool. That's a podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Again, available on all of your podcast
wherever you listen
stuff.
To your
at all good bookstores.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be just playing over the radio. I'll hack it in. at Dimmicks. <Yeah. laughs> All right. Thanks for watching. See ya.
See ya.
Yeah.